Jeezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT Studios, overlooking Atlantic Station. And it is another week of some exciting sports talk radio as the SRT crew is in the building. It is college football time. It's coming up. NFL is coming up. The fantasy draft is coming up.
Yep.
Everything is coming up, boy, and I tell you. So, I guess this is when I tell you, for all of the ladies who are respectful of their men, the honey-do list goes in hibernation until June.
Wow.
Don't ask your man to do nothing until he checks with the football schedule, basketball schedule, and that's pretty much it.
Also include if you have a you have a fantasy draft scheduled.
Yes.
Let her know when it is so she will know not to distract you.
There you go. Well, actually, she could probably help pick some of your picks this year. Because it seems like every year after the first week, you got three injuries.
Yeah.
So
right about that.
So just had to get that out the way, but you're tuning in to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. I am your host, H.O. from Bankhead. Of course, I got the SRT crew. Sports superhero Hancock is in the building.
What's up, big homie?
All is well, man. Everything good?
Boy, it's my time of year, baby.
Your time of year.
Boy, get your fruit cups ready.
Yeah, well, I meant to mention that, but we're going to keep that on the hush.
It's like a holiday. It's holiday season for us. If you're a real sports fan.
Absolutely.
I mean, basketball and all that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and all that. That's all good. But, man, it's just something about football, man. It just, I think it's that thing that it's once a week. So you kind of build up the anticipation for the games every week.
Yes.
So it's just a different time of year for a sports fan.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Part-time job for some of us.
And you know this. You got a harvest, baby.
We're going to eventually get G-Money out that Uber situation.
Yeah.
Because he's telling too many stories about the ride share. We'll have him telling some stories about ching chinging.
There you go.
Yeah.
And some fruit cups in.
Pass the grapes.
Pass the grapes. The grapes and alkaline water.
You already know. And of course, I got my other main man from Memphis, Tennessee. Jay Smooth is in the building.
Oh, glad to be back, as always.
What do you mean be back?
Yeah, hey, it's another Wednesday.
Exactly.
Yeah, That's what I meant. Glad to be back and sitting out of traffic.
There you go. I agree. And of course, the man behind the glass is thumping them beats. Got my main man, G Money.
Yo.
And if you want to watch us in studio, please go to our Facebook page, SRT Sports Talk Radio on Facebook. Make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio. And if you want to call in, 404-603-8770. We got a great show for you. We got some hot news that we're going to talk about. And we got the Falcoholic calling in. Well, DW from the Falcoholic calling in around 7:30 to talk about them Dirty Birds. And then we got Rain Man.
Rain Man.
Got Rain Man.
Rain Man.
He's going to help you with them picks.
Yes, sir.
The first week. So get your fruit cups and get your pen and paper ready because Rain Man be calling in around 7:50. Of course, D will go call in and tell us about what's going on in the college football world. Cause
I wonder if he got a quarterback yet.
Might be a question to ask him. Because that's going to be.
Saban ain't told him yet.
The weird say he got pulled now, baby. So we'll see. So, man, we got a hot show for you, man. Also, second hour show, we got some college football talk. Obviously, that will be our SRT roundtable discussion. We're talking college football. What are you looking forward to in college football this year? What teams and players are you looking to watch? And what teams or players will probably disappoint us? So we choose two, or you can choose one. It don't matter. You can choose either one. So make sure who all are listening and who all are watching us live, please participate if you can. If you got some, go ahead and throw it out and we'll respond to it.
I gotta send a shout out to my GM who's going to be helping me pick my squad this year, since, you know, you all made it a funny, this comedy skit that the superhero finished last. So, shout out to my GM, Boogie. Boogie going to do the picking this year.
There you go.
And but, I want to get him in before his bedtime. Shout out, Boogie.
But if you do decide to go with Blake Bortles, I'll fully support that pick. I'm all the way behind you on that pick, like you have my complete.
Hey, I'm going Blake Bortles, first round pick. Championship.
Yeah.
Let's roll, baby.
I did win a championship with Blake Bortles.
And if you decide to go with Alex Smith,
G,
I might have to disown you.
Stop it, G.
Wow. Y'all all the time. Go ahead.
One more thing. G, got a new listener, man. My FedEx driver I was telling y'all about. My man told me he can't follow our show because we got music in the background. I said, you must have ADD or something. He said he can't concentrate.
Can't concentrate.
But
I will tell Gigi to
no, no, it's going to be all right. I think, you know, he probably a little used to listen to Blake Shelton and stuff like that.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, so, okay. You know, if you play something.
Tell him to send us a song list.
Yeah.
Tell him to send us a song.
We good.
Or something like
Shout
that.
Shout out, Jesse.
Who's his favorite team?
Oh, he's a Bama fan, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
He's a Bama fan. He said he'll be listening.
Sweet Home Alabama, I guess, is something he want us to play. Exactly. All right, man, with all that being said, let's go ahead and jump to some of this hot news.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching. On fire. Red hot. This is why I'm hot. It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by our good old friends over at the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, going over to the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. And the shrimp, the best that you'll ever have, and it's verified. The first story on the docket. And if you go to our website, you'll see it plain as day. Aaron Rodgers gets paid. Hancock, your thoughts on Mr. Rodgers and the neighborhood?
Boy, that's a heck of a neighborhood. And, I mean, anytime you start a conversation and you say the largest contract in history or the largest anything in history, that's pretty big. So we're talking about a $176 million deal. I think it's $134 over four-year extension for a $33 million annual salary. Boy, that's some big money, man. Not only is he getting that, he gets a $57 million signing bonus. Again, can you fathom writing your name and they send a check for $57 million? I'm sure it's broken down over the course of the contract, but that's money he's going to get in that signing bonus.
Wow.
$57 million. By next year, by March of next year, he will have been paid $80 million in this contract. That's what he has to get by March 2019.
Wow.
So when you look at this contract, he's 34 years old, and that's the thing, the longevity in football. Quarterbacks normally can last, the good ones can last 12, 14 years career. some exceptions when you look at what happened with Peyton Manning, came back, but he had a long career. Drew Brees still going along good. Roethlisberger. So your top of the line quarterbacks can make big time money over this time, over this period of time, you know. And I don't think it's a bad deal for him because he's been a good quarterback. But you know, you look at some of his accolades: 6-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl MVP. In his 13-year career, he's passed for 38,000 yards and 313 touchdowns.
Wow.
But only one Super Bowl. Had some bad luck last year. Was, you know, probably one of the reasons that, you know, this new rule of not being able to put your weight on the quarterback when you tackle him now, he's probably the poster boy for that. Losing marquee players is not beneficial to the league. So you have to do something to protect these guys, especially protecting an investment like this. I mean, $176 million, which he'll probably see the majority of. Like I said, I think it's $103 million that's guaranteed, and they'll probably rework that last $73 million over some kind of course of a deal to make him, you know, retire a Packer. But I think it's a good deal. I mean, you know, and I've always been kind of critical of paying quarterbacks or people all this kind of money, but when you look at what he means to that franchise and he means to that organization, that whole area as far as Wisconsin, he is that. He's the piece up there for them. So I think you have to pay him.
Now, one thing that you mentioned about how he has carried his team, how he probably do more than any quarterback. The year that they actually won the Super Bowl, they had the most injuries in the league.
Mm. Yeah, that defense was decimated.
So that in itself obviously put a little more put a little more resume
right
on this contract. Exactly. By winning the Super Bowl with those many injuries. So,
and that's the thing, certain quarterbacks can carry and cover some of your ills. You know, that's been one of the major things that has kind of plagued our local quarterback here in Ryan, is not being given that, let's say, given the, how do we want to say, what we want to say about him, given his due, because right. They say he doesn't carry the organization.
Exactly.
He's limited. But when you look at Aaron Rodgers, who's another sportscaster says is that bad man,
yeah,
he's shown he can carry an organization. He can carry a team. He can make plays, you know, with his legs. And sometimes just putting the ball in places that other average quarterbacks can't do. He has a strong arm and very accurate. So, I mean, when you pay this type of money and you have quarterbacks that stand or stand out, that set apart, I can see paying them. I can't see paying for quarterbacks that don't rise to those moments. But he has. Only knock, one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the only real knock you can say.
Yep. All right, story number two, Smooth, your boy OBJ, he gets paid as well. Oh, boy. And obviously there has been some clapback about him getting his money as far as being trusted. So I'm going to let you give your thoughts on Odell Beckham now being the highest paid receiver in the game.
Well, first off, congratulations to Odell Beckham. In my eyes, he's well-deserving of the money. And to all the naysayers, the doubters that don't feel that he deserves this money, just go somewhere. Just go jump off a bridge. You know, do whatever you need to do, because Odell Beckham is well within his right. The numbers back up the contract. The numbers evidently prove that he's deserving of the contract. And I'll admit, he has had some issues, the Josh Norman fights, the punching, the kicker's net, you know, the alleged substance with the model
room
in Paris.
Right.
You know, he's had several incidents, but I don't have to read off the numbers because people know the numbers and they know that they completely warrant what he's deserving of. And I, you know, thank you to Superhero who did the research. There were actually a few receivers in the league that made way more than Odell Beckham at the time. And, well, just to give you guys the details of the contract, it's a 5-year, $95 million deal. He could earn up to $95 million. That's the maximum amount that he can't earn. But he's guaranteed $90 million. 65 million total guaranteed and 41 million guaranteed due at signing. So, and the 90 million works out to his average per year, which is going to be 18 million per year. But to go back to what I wanted to, those receivers that I wanted to point out earlier, guys like Tyler Lockett, Randall Cobb, Dante Moncrief, Pierre Garçon, and Marquise Lee, they all made more than Odell Beckham last year. He was due, his contract was supposed to raise to about, or his yearly salary was around a little bit over $8 million this year. So that's where he would have been without the extension. But, you know, like I said, to all the naysayers, the doubters, you can say whatever it is that you want. I think Odell Beckham, I think he'll return to his original form. He was without a doubt the most exciting receiver in all of football, and I think he's still a generational talent and a guy who, in my opinion, is probably the could be the face of the NFL. If he cleans a few things up, like the NFL has to get to a point where they start to market individual stars, and I think this is one of the guys who could be one of those faces soon.
Yeah, I think he has how many Twitter followers? About
I'm sure it's in the millions.
It's huge. I forgot. I did know the number, but it slipped my mind at this time. But think about it. Odell's worst season, full season, is 11 touchdowns and 91 receptions,
right,
and over 1,000 yards received.
Yeah,
that's his worst season, not counting. I mean, full season.
Yeah.
Injured last year, so kind of put an asterisk by that one, but. I mean, some of his numbers, man, that when you rank them against some of the all-time greats, he's up there.
Oh, yeah, especially within his first 3 years.
That's right. So, I mean, I wholeheartedly think he deserved this money.
Oh, yeah. And congrats to the Morrow family, Dave Gettleman, who got right. this done.
I agree. Story number three, though it is football season, obviously the NBA is still trying to remain relevant as they announce a ESPN power ranking and things of that nature. But along with that, they story came out of Boston that Kyrie Irving and Gordon Haywood are ready and at full speed. G, your thoughts and how much are you looking forward to them seeing them play this season?
Well, it's going to be interesting because Boston has a good problem, I guess you'd call it. And this is something that we talked about last season where you know, you have a lot of players that kind of play similar positions with Tatum, Brown, and Hayward. They all play the same position. They can play that two or three, that wing score. And with Kyrie, I mean, you're going to start Kyrie. That, like, Terry Rozier had a good run, but he's going to be a sixth man, and I think he will flourish in that role. And then with Marcus Smart, he was the sixth man last year without Kyrie, and now he'll be the seventh man or whatever. You'll plug him in wherever. So Boston has a lot of options, a lot of ways they can go. They can throw out a lot of different lineups. So this is a good problem for them to have. The only problem would be later on when you have to pay some of these guys. So it's good that Hayward and Kyrie are healthy going into camp. And I think Stevens will be able to, you know, figure something out. And there's really, I really think it's Boston's conference to lose as far as getting to the finals. You don't have to worry about LeBron. The Raptors are a different team. Philadelphia, you beat Philadelphia without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So, of course, you can beat them with them now. And everybody else is still, they still have a long way to go to catch up to what Boston has accomplished so far. So, it's good that they have these two players going into camp. I think they're going to run away with the Eastern Conference this year.
Wow. Woo! Big time. Run away? Yeah.
Run away.
All right, our last story. And fellas, you know we are football heavy. But I do have to ask this question because obviously this has been coming up. The Big Ten has been slated as the conference to look forward to this year. Well, there's a coach in the Big Ten that if you ask me, he is on the hot seat. Mm. We talked about last year in October, Jim Harbaugh had the same record as Brady Hoke. They fired Brady Hoke at that particular time. We understand Harbaugh brings in the revenue. He's a different name. He's a different brand. But he's never had a quarterback that ranked higher than 40th since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has Shea Patterson, transfer from Ole Miss. The question is this do or die for Jim Harbaugh now that he has a quarterback? And I'll start with you.
No, it's not do or die for Jim Harbaugh, man.
Okay.
Can't be do or die for him. I think the heat has been kind of taken off him with all the things that have gone on these other universities. You know, as long as he's not in the back with the kids or doing something like, or you know, doing the thing with the fathers and all that kind of stuff that going on these other schools, or what went on with turning your head with the domestic violence at another university I won't mention, I think he's running the clean program, and that's the biggest thing that they're doing. If you look at it, at Michigan, at Ohio State, at Penn State, those that conference wants you to beat those top-ranked teams. If anything he's lacking in, he hadn't beat the big guys.
Right.
He's 1-5, I think, against all the big guys. But he's a measurement away from beating Ohio State in that game and possibly going on to the championship, to the Big Four, or Conference BCS, whatever it was at that time. Another one, he had another chance to get in against Michigan State, and his punter drops the ball, and Michigan State runs it back and recovers in the end zone. So they lose that one at the buzzer, a game that they had won. So there are two games that swings in the whole – if you swing those two games, and I know if is big, but think about it. Those are two winnable situations. If he does that, then this whole thing is looked at different in how he's turned the program. The only reason he hadn't turned the program, and I'm using air quotes, is because he hadn't beaten the big guys in the conference.
The big guy.
And once he does that, you know, I think it's always still recruiting. The defense is great this year. He does, as you say, finally have a quarterback that supposedly has the substance that he needs to turn this program, to turn his offense. His defense is ranked. It's one of the best in the country. If you just look up the numbers, Michigan's D is for real.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
So we're not, that side of the ball is going to take care of itself. They just hadn't scored. If they can put points on the board with the defense they have, believe me, they'll make noise in the Big Ten this year and in the nation this year.
And a lot of people really don't understand or know the weight that beating your rivalry or your rivals, how much that counts.
Means, yeah.
You know, it's you know, those are some of the things that you look at. But the whole thing about it is everybody has been held or holding or giving the, not the excuse, but just observing the fact that he hadn't had a quarterback.
Right.
And
it's been
an
excuse.
Shows.
It's been an excuse.
It's been an excuse.
It's been they've used it as an excuse.
Yeah.
So I do say with a caveat, this year he has to beat Notre Dame Saturday. I think that's one of the crucial moments. Yeah, he could still come back from it and they could have a successful year. But he has to beat somebody like a Notre Dame. Notre Dame, not in a conference, but a big name program.
Right.
So if he goes into Ann Arbor and comes out of there with a W, then the train is rolling.
Yeah.
So I think what you said, on the hot seat, I don't think so. Is he feeling a little breath on the back of his neck? Yeah. So I will grant you, I go with you on that.
Because at this point, if he hadn't won, like, let's do the numbers. And I'm not trying to take up all your time, Jay, but 71% winning percentage for Harbaugh in 4 years. Urban Meyer has a 91% winning percentage.
And a national championship.
Okay. And a conference championship. So, that is your rival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if we're not going to say the hot seat, can we say that it is some, you have a higher standard that you have to measure up against.
True.
If we brought you in this conference to compete with the top dog.
Yeah, he needs to win.
He needs to win. Because what excuse would they use if he doesn't win this year?
Khaki is too tight.
All right, Smooth, I'm going to let you jump on in there and tell me what you think about Harbaugh and him being on a hot seat, or if it's do or die for him.
Well, I think this, I wouldn't call it a make or break year, but I think it's important to note that you guys have pointed out that the stakes are a lot higher. Going into this season, Jim Harbaugh has everything that he could possibly need on his team to be successful. He has a great defense, and he finally has the quarterback that he wants in Shea Patterson. And word around the program is that everyone is all in on Shea Patterson. Even Charles Woodson, the legendary Michigan player, soon to be NFL Hall of Famer, he actually gave Shea Patterson permission to wear number 2. Desmond Howard, who was also one of Michigan's most famed alums, he actually picked Michigan to be in the top 4, the college football playoff.
Right.
So the pressure is there from alumni. It's there from the administration, the team itself. Even Harbaugh has these expectations himself. The word is that Patterson is coachable. His teammates like him. He has a rocket for an arm. He can make any and every throw that you want. This is the word around the program. So if you're Jim Harbaugh, there's no excuse this year. And this is his fourth year. So all of the players from the previous regime, they're gone. Like, he has every one of the players that he's recruited, they're all in there now. They're in the system. He's had 4 years to, you know, implement his system. So there shouldn't be a problem this year. And I'll go ahead and say that if they don't win, I won't say he'll get fired, but that red dot or that microscope, they'll zoom in on him. That's probably the best way to put it. So he has to win.
G, you want to come in on this or get you a little?
If they're going to fire him, they're going to have to bring in somebody better than him. So I don't think that's going to happen in a year.
Yeah.
Maybe two. So I don't think whatever happens this year, he's not going to get fired. But the next year, I think there'll be even more pressure on him to where he could be fired. And if they have somebody lined up to take his place, we'll know about it.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. All right, man, that's going to wrap up the hot news. Hancock said his khakis may be too tight, maybe need to change the color or something, but I don't know. But in some other news, we'll just throw one or two out, but we do got some other news coming, later on in the show. But just wanted to mention Teddy Bridgewater did get traded to the Saints. We figured he was going to get traded. At least Hancock had foreseen that. We had some teams that we had picked out. I don't think we picked the Saints.
No, that's a shocker.
That is a shocker.
I guess is he in line? I mean, how long does Breeze play? You know, I mean, Breeze is getting up there, but he's still throwing
He signed a 2-year deal.
Okay.
So probably just those 2 years.
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then he go move to offensive coordinator. Mm.
They're good enough to where they're not going to have a high draft pick to get a quarterback, right. But they're going to give Bridgewater a shot. That's what it looks
so, like. But does Bridgewater take that? I mean, what if somebody else comes and offers? Because he'll be what, a free agent? I mean, he's still, they only making like $500,000 this year.
Yeah,
he had signed a 1-year deal.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I know the Jets didn't have any, you know, grasp on him, so he can walk.
He's a trade chip for.
But not if they don't trade him before the end of the year.
Right. And I think he will be traded before the trade deadline. What was it, week 6, 7, 8?
Seven, I think.
Something like that.
All right, man. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll chop it up some more. But definitely, we got the Falcon Holler. We got that Falcon report coming up. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM. Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
You know, sweet, I met Dr. Martin Luther King once.
And you lying. You ain't never met Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I met Dr. Martin Luther King in 1962 in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm walking down the street, minding my own business, just walking off, feeling good. I walk around the corner, man woke up, hit me in my chest, right? I fall on the ground, right? And I look up at Dr. Martin Luther King. I said, Dr. King. He said, oops, I thought you were somebody else.
Oh, man, you lying. You ain't never met Martin Luther King.
Knocked the wind out of me. Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
We're back, and of course, you heard it, the music, and when you hear it, you already know who's on the phone. You can reach him at FalcoholicDW, and he's here to do our Falcons report. Our guy, our friend, DW, the Falcons, man. What's up, D-Dub?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's going on, baby? The fourth week is here, and the first question I got to ask, how can you talk Falcons fans off the ledge in preseason?
I don't know that you can, to be honest. But, you know, I was telling someone else just last week that, in my opinion, the Falcons won the preseason. And the way that you do that is you get out with the fewest number of injuries. And the case can be made no better than what happened against the Jaguars. Early in the game, you saw their number one receiver, Marquise Lee, take a hit to the knee, and he is done for the year. And there's nothing worse than losing one of your top players in a absolutely worthless preseason game. So these games don't count. The Browns went 4-0 in the preseason last year before they went 0-16. Have a drink, get ready for the regular season, because that's when it's going to matter.
There you go. I do agree. SI and many other people are picking the Falcons to win the Super Bowl. I want to know, is that a jinx, or are they on to something?
I'm an Atlanta sports fan, so it always feels like a jinx. tell me I'm wrong, but in all honesty, I think if you look purely at the talent level that the Falcons have from top to bottom, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, there are very few positions where you can identify a clear weakness in this team. And that's, the Falcons are arguably one of the very few teams in the entire league that you could say that about. So from that standpoint, I think absolutely. And then the pedigree, they have been to the big dance under Dan Quinn. And they have been to the playoffs the past 2 years. So there is a lot of reason to believe that this Falcons team can get back there. Obviously, there are a lot of games to play. They got to stay healthy. They got to play to their potential. But yeah, there's good reason to believe that they could be one of the top teams.
Gotcha. So this is our fourth preseason game coming up tomorrow. Is there anybody you think that could actually make this team that we didn't think so at first?
I tell you who I'm watching is the linebacker who used to go to Mundy's Mill in Jonesboro, Georgia, and that is Jonathan Celestin. Okay. He has had several very good preseason games, and I think he has made a very strong case for the Falcons trying to keep him or find a spot for him on the 53-man roster. I think a lot of people are thinking he's a practice squad candidate for sure. I think he could sneak on. I think he's, depending on what he does tomorrow night, if he can continue to ball out and show that he's got that nose for the ball, I think he may sneak on to the 53-man.
All right, speaking of that, I know Devontae Freeman hasn't played in the preseason this season. But when you look at Tevin Coleman, he looks good. And some would probably say, what reason and why would we get rid of him, or why would we let him walk? And I just want to get your thoughts based on how he's been performing in the preseason.
Tevin's a fantastic weapon, and especially in this offense. He is a dynamic runner. When he gets an open space, he's gone. And he's shown that he can catch the ball. Honestly, if the Falcons can find a way to pay him and keep him here, they absolutely should. I think the only question is in today's NFL with a salary cap, can you truly afford to pay two running backs top money in the league? And I think with the contracts for guys like Deion Jones, Keanu Neal lingering in the future, the possibility of giving Julio Jones a little bit bigger deal after the season, I don't know that there's going to be enough money to go around.
Well, speaking of running backs, does Ito Smith need to have a big game tomorrow? Because we haven't really seen much of what he can actually do.
You know, I think he's probably safe for the roster, but I do want to see more from him. You know, he's the big thing that we saw from him in college and in the scouting reports, the guy likes to dance a little bit. And in the Falcons, you know, wide zone running scheme, you've got to make your pick for the lane you're going to take, and you've got to hit it hard. And it's, I think Ito is adjusting to it. We've seen him get a little bit better with each game, but I do think we need to see a little bit more out of him. I think his roster spot is safe at this point. They're not going to invest that kind of draft pick and let him walk, but I do want to see more.
All right. We have improved this year, DW, and on the phone we got DW of the Falcoholic. You can reach him on Twitter and on social media at the Falcoholic DW. We've improved when we've gone Facebook Live, where we got all the cameras and everybody looking and everybody coming, and I just got a question from a Tony Davis, and he wants to know, which fullback would they keep this year?
Oh, well, right now it definitely looks like the front runner is Ricky Ortiz. We were actually talking in our writers' chat at the Falcoholic a little bit earlier today, and someone was speculating that Buffalo may walk away from our good friend from the past, Patrick DeMarco.
Right.
And if somehow Patrick DeMarco hit the market, I would not hesitate to try to bring him back. So.
Ah, that's good information. DQ has, in a press conference earlier this week, named his starting guard, Brandon Fusco or Fiasco, however you say his name.
Fusco, yes.
Fusco, what does he actually bring to this offensive line?
You know, I think he is the definition of average, and honestly, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade over Wes Schweitzer. Wes really struggled last year. We all saw it. We saw it in the playoffs. We saw it throughout the season. And to be fair, he went up against some top-tier defensive tackles all season long. Fusco has a little bit more experience. He's a little bit more stout as a pass blocker, which will definitely help. And I think just overall, the play quality, the level the guy plays at, he's not a world beater, but he's the definition of league average, which is an upgrade over what we had.
Wow. What concerns do you actually have going into the season, if any at all?
Well, I tell you what, I feel good about the talent level on the offense. On the offensive side of the ball, it comes down to Sark. You know, we've talked about it in the past. Is the second year for him going to be similar to the second year that Shanahan had with the Falcons, which was obviously the record-breaking season? Will he adjust enough to the NFL game? That's a big question mark. And on the defensive side of the ball, is the pass rush going to come alive this year? If it doesn't, I think it will be the one thing on this defense that will keep the defense from being a top five unit. They'll still be a good unit, but without the fierce pass rush, it's going to hold them back. And the question for me is, will Vic Beasley return to his second year form? And will Tack McKinley take that second-year leap? So those are some of the question marks I'm looking at as we go into Philadelphia.
All right, speaking of Philadelphia, I got to ask, we playing them on a Thursday night, and I think we're opening up for the second straight year with the team celebrating. But with all of the injuries that the Eagles have, does that give or is that any more added pressure to the Falcons to win this game?
You know, I think so. And the coaches will always say it doesn't matter who they're playing, but it does. You know, if they don't have Carson Wentz and they go up against a banged up, you know, poor looking Nick Foles without Alshon Jeffrey, with a linebacker core that's suffering from some injuries, I don't know how you look at the Falcons and think that if they don't come away with a win, that it's not disappointing.
Right.
That said, to your point, they're going on the road to start the season, and it's going to be an emotional night for Philadelphia. You know, it's not like with the Patriots where they had, you know, at least, what, six or seven rings by the time we went in there. It's the first one for Philly fans. And they didn't have to cheat for it either, so there's that. They actually have one to be proud of. So I think there's that emotional element we have to be aware of in these games. And there's always, and I say this every year, and people bash me for it, but it is held true. The first game of the NFL season is always weird. It's always weird. You go back to 2016, our first game against the Bucks, it was weird before we went on a great roll offensively. The first game is just weird. So keep that in mind. It's strange things could happen against Philadelphia.
I got you. All right, so the last question of the night. I just need to get your predictions and the record that you think the Falcons will have for the season.
Woo! You're talking about the win-loss record?
The win-loss record, yes.
Yeah, so I've said this a few times. I'm going to stick to it because I don't want to be held to, you know, changing positions like a politician. And I'm going to go with an 11-5 record. I think that wins the NFC South, and I think they'll have either the 2 seed or the 3 seed somewhere in there.
I got you. Well, as always, D-Dub, we really appreciate it. We really appreciate this Falcons report. And we'll talk to you soon. But before you go, please let everybody know where they can find your, obviously, your Falcoholic podcast and where they can find you on social media.
Awesome. You can follow me at Falcoholic DW on Twitter. And we are ramping back up the Falcoholic podcast. We've actually got some new podcast content, some interesting things we're going to be trying out in the next few weeks. So keep an eye out for that as the regular season for the Falcons gets going.
All right. As always, rise up, D-Dub. We really appreciate it.
Rise up.
Rise up, D-Dub.
All right. There's D-Dub, man, the Falca from the Falcoholic, giving that Falcon report. And, man, it's 11-5, man.
Whew. I agree. That are 10-6.
It's a tough division, man.
Yeah.
They might beat each other up, man. So, you know, 11-5 is big.
It is. Three teams went to the playoffs last year.
I know. But, you know, the Giants will be better this year. Carolina will be better. So, yeah. You know, even though they were one of the teams that went last year, but, you know, I don't know, man. NFC South is going to be a monster.
Yes. It's,
and I think they're playing, don't they play the East this year? Out of conference? I mean, who do they go up against?
They play Cincinnati.
They play the AFC South.
AFC South.
I mean, North.
AFC North. 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 So that's
Bengals, Steelers.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. The outdoors, Rams. Though. See, well, are they on the road on those games?
Two of them. At the Steelers and
what
at the Browns.
What time of year? They're the Steelers.
October 7th. And then at the Browns, November 11th.
Ooh.
They only got 9 games on turf.
And they built for the turf. See, that's the thing. Outdoor weather, that's the only thing kind of about. But they played Philly well last year in the car. They should have beat Philly in that playoff game.
I think the Tampa field is just horrible.
I think so. Certain teams you just have tough times against. And
yeah.
Tampa is one of those teams that they just have a tough time against.
Yeah.
What you said those games on turf, that's counting the home games?
Yeah.
Okay, because they play, I guess that other game is against the Ravens. I know they play on turf.
Yeah, and I think we were speaking more indoors, weren't you?
But as far as indoors, I think that's their home games and then the Saints.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's yeah. So, man, that's 6-10, Marty. Oh my god,
light up, buddy, Marty.
Yeah, come on, Marty.
He must have been talking about the Colts. He had to be.
There you go. Way to throw some get back at it, man. I tell you what.
No, you could.
Exactly. Before we go to a commercial break, do want to shout out the Peachtree City Little League baseball team for making it to the championship game on the U.S. side in the Little League World Series. Shout out to them. They got beat by Hawaii, who went ahead and beat Japan, I think. Korea, one of them. And, they lost, I didn't really pay attention. But shout out to Peachtree City. Them Georgia boys is what they call them. And shout out to the Atlanta Dream for winning the game last night. They tied the series up the Mystics 1-1. And Deladon went out with an apparent knee injury.
Uh-oh.
It looked bad.
Who is it?
Deladon.
She went out with an injury?
Yeah.
I didn't see any of it last night. Yeah, really? Yeah.
Man, it was.
It's not good.
The Hawaii team, they beat South Korea.
South Korea, okay. Yeah, well, I was in the ballpark somewhere, so. The Dream now. So if she can't continue, do we?
Hey, you take it any way you can get it.
Take it any way you can get it. Now, this is without Angel McCautry now.
I know.
And I think Bentley came off the bench the other, last night in career high.
There's only a few games. Names I know in the NBA. You already mentioned McCautry.
You mean WNBA?
Yeah. Deladon, a couple of them.
Deladon has, she's listed as questionable for game 3, so it was a bone bruise.
Mm. Oh, that went too bad.
Oh, she'll play.
It didn't look bad. You know how you're like, I don't want to see that again?
Did somebody fall into her leg?
No, she slipped in her knee was straight and it went back.
Hyperextended.
Yeah, kind of hyperextended. So it just looked bad. But it happened in the crucial time of the game. See, I already had 27 and 13.
Yeah.
And it was 3 minutes left in the game. And, the Dream just went ahead and did what they needed to do. Tiffany Haynes did her thing.
Right. You had to see how well that knee is. If I'm the Dream, I'm laying on her all, bodying her up.
Yeah.
Putting pressure on that knee all night. See if she can go.
And so in order for them to get back to Atlanta, obviously they got to win one in D.C.
This is best of five, right?
Yeah, best of five. So hope Obama is at one of the games. and cheer him on or whatever the case may be. But yeah, it's tough when that happens, man. So but thanks for D Dub for doing his Falcons report. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we got our main guy, Rain Man, calling in to give his picks. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
Greetings, Barry here. The Real 1100 wants you to register to vote. Join us for our Be the Change Register to Vote campaign. Come on out Saturday, September 22nd, and enjoy music, refreshments, and a chance to meet some of your favorite Real 1100 show hosts and enter raffle giveaways. Be the change you would like to see. Register to vote with us September 22nd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We can't wait to meet you. And remember, don't boo, vote.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
All you do is spin record. That's all you do. Who you think he is? DJ Quick?
No,
huh?
No, I ain't
saying that. Kick
and I didn't say
huh? That. Oh, you must be Jimmy Walker. Blue, you ain't nothing. You don't deserve nothing. You don't get nothing. You get what I give you. I got a contract between me and you that say you do what I tell you to do. Therefore, shut the don't say nothing. Don't speak to me. Don't look at me.
I tell you what.
You better go on back out there and get out of my face before you get swole.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
We'll get ready because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
On the phone is our guy. Hey, your intro is better than our intro, man. How is that possible?
I lead it up to G Money. G Money runs the board.
Hey, and then look, I'm looking on Facebook Live, and he just got your face. He got the fruit cups. He got the oh my god. Hey, Rain Man, you're doing your thing. I know you've been on vacation. You've been celebrating your retirement and things of that nature. First of all, I want you to tell everybody how you've been doing, because folks miss you around here in the Sports Roundtable tenant.
I've been doing good, man. Just enjoying life. Tomorrow actually will be 1 year that I've been retired. So just been reading up on my football stuff, getting ready. To pass. I don't think you should call it cupcakes no more.
It was fruit cups.
Fruit cups, yeah, because it's legal now, right?
Well, not in Georgia.
I don't think you can go to prison now. I think everything's going to be legal all across the states all in the next couple of years. So, man, it's no more cupcake, fruit cups. It's right. Just straight make money.
We're going to wait, though, folks. We're going to be safe.
That sounds like superhero.
You know it.
It is a superhero. All right, let's get this thing started. Labor Day weekend, we already know if you're in a relationship, you tell your girls, listen, it's that time of the year. It's time to get some fruit cups. I got to make some of these changes, and you're here to give them some picks that'll help them be quiet. So. With your first pick, I want to give. Let's go with. You can tell me your value pick, your upset pick, or your lock.
I would go with my value pick first.
Okay,
and since there are no NFL games this week, just preseason, I'm going strictly college with my three picks.
Okay,
so the value pick is going to be Army at Duke, and I like the under 45.5. So that could change by Friday to just 45 or 46. But I just like the fact that Army has a running attack, and I think they're going to milk their clock. And they got a pretty good defense, too. I think they ranked like 28th in the nation in defense. So I'm looking forward to Army and Duke keeping it close and staying up under that 45.
I like that. So that's the value pick. Duke Army under 45. You say 45.5, right?
Yeah.
It's 45.5 as of right now, but they could change come Friday.
Okay, if we get to 46, I'm definitely jumping on that. All right, what's your next pick?
My next pick is going to be the upset of the week, and I'm going to New Orleans. Hancock told me Tulane is any lane, but it's a four-lane highway. And I'm taking Tulane Greenways plus 7.5 at home against Wake Forest.
They must have widened the street because it used to just be one lane through there. Folks just running through it.
Yeah, they built some more lanes up there, superheroes. So I heard that. Trucks, too. Everybody coming through that now.
That was two lane and what?
It's two lane plus seven and a plus half against Wake Forest at home.
Okay.
Wow. And that's my upset pick.
Okay. Nice. Wow, I like that. Man, I like that. So Wake Forest ain't got nothing this year?
Wow. I don't know if they got a thing. I think Tulane has improved.
Tulane ain't your one of them coaching at Tulane, one of them boys from used to coach at Auburn.
I'm not sure, but it's a brother, so he's doing a good job. Oh, I think they're gonna be much better than people say they are.
Okay, all right. Give me your lock.
My lock of the week. I'm going with Northwestern Wildcats. I'm taking Northwestern plus three going to Purdue. And it's a rivalry game, but I like Northwestern plus the three. I think Northwestern is going to play pretty good ball this year.
They're playing at Purdue.
It's at Purdue, yeah, and I'm taking Northwestern plus three on the road.
Wow, okay. And I'm going to just recap this real quick for all of our listeners. The value pick of the week, you got Army versus Duke, and you're taking the under 45.5. The upset is Tulane versus Wake Forest, and you taking Tulane plus 7.5. And the lock of the week would be Northwestern versus Purdue, and you taking Northwestern plus 3.
That is correct, sir.
My man. Well, I think we got us three winners, to be honest with you.
And to be on up and up, I got a bonus pick if you need to, because some people like folk.
My man, come on with it. Let's do bonus pick.
My bonus pick, and I never go against my boys, but I'm taking West Virginia minus the 10 versus Tennessee Volunteers.
West Virginia minus 10 versus the Falls.
Now, that's a bonus. I hope they don't count that against me.
Right.
That's a bonus for the children. That's for the children.
That's for the children. Now, where they playing that game at?
I want to say it's a neutral site, so I don't know if it's in Bristol, which is on the borderline of Virginia and Tennessee, but I think it's a neutral site. I don't think it's a – I think the home team would probably be West Virginia.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that one too. Man.
They say all right. At West Virginia, yeah.
They say at West Virginia, but it's probably a neutral site.
Okay, it says a neutral site, I think, though.
Yeah, they just probably the home team.
Hey, HF3J, can you do me a favor?
Sure, yeah.
Get nephew a hug for me. Hey, man, y'all doing a great job, man. I appreciate it, and I hope this is the beginning. Don't forget, we got the next NFL kickoff, so we're going to be ready for some pro football.
There you go, man. And listen, while you're on the phone, please tell everybody where they can reach you for some inspirational IG quotes.
You can reach me on Instagram at ATL. Well, no, I changed that. So you still can reach me at Instagram, but it's Victor Hill number 4.
There you go. At Victor Hill number 4. Please follow him. It's for some laughs, some great quotes, inspirational things of that nature. So make sure you do that. And Slick and Rain Man, we really appreciate it. Actually, we go see you after the show.
Okay, man. Thank you so much, and y'all have a good show.
Absolutely.
All right, Slick Money.
Oh. Peace.
There he is, Rain Man. I like all of them picks. I really do.
That's fruit cups on.
That West Virginia Tennessee game that we played in Charlotte.
Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. That's what it said.
Bank of America. Wow. Okay. Hmm. Great. Like that. Whew. My man Rain Man, he did his thing. So that does it for the picks of the week. And G Money was just putting all the picks on the screen so everybody can see. Making sure everybody gets get all of that. And we going to start off the second hour of the show, because we about to take a quick break. And we about to get out of this first hour and jump into the second hour of the show. So you listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
tuned into WWE Peekville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's the Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
The work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Or more specifically, the feet work never stops at Bo Bell Basketball Academy. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies, specifically how footwork is the foundation to be a complete basketball player. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy, where feet work is key.
Sports Roundtable.
What's up, big worm?
How much you got left?
Man, I got a lot.
You still ain't sold that weed, Smokey?
And I'm trying to, worm. I'm broke these days.
I don't think you applying yourself, Smokey.
Huh?
You smoking my
Hell no, with your Hell no.
You smoking my
Now why would I do some like that?
I don't want to have to you up, Smokey. Playing with my money is like playing with my emotions.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Yeah. Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. Boom. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? We're back. Sports Roundtable, second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour of the show. The Falcoholic DW called in to give us that Falcon report. And Rain Man called in to give us some picks of the week. Wow. Football season has started. Yes, it has. And we had some hot news. Talked about, obviously, OBJ. We talked about Kyrie and Gordon. And we talked about Aaron Rodgers. And now we were going to get into this second hour show talking some college football. And on the phone, we got our esteemed co-host who's always on the road, Mr. D. Will, the coach. What's up, D. Will?
What's happening, crew?
What's happening, man?
What up, Weezy?
All right, you already know what they've been emailing me and sending texts and all this. They want to know who's going to be the quarterback for Alabama in the first game.
Mm.
Who's going to get the first snap? We're not going to talk about who playing. Who's getting the first snap? G Money said that Saban won't go tell you.
Shoot. I said not yet. I said not yet.
Okay.
All right, what we got?
But, you know, a couple of weeks ago I came on and I said Jalen Hurts was dead in the Chevy. You know, he riding in the Impala and he leaking. But reports coming out of Tuscaloosa, man, it's a totally different thing right now. Jalen Hurts has looked very, very good over the past month. And we all know, if it's one thing we know about Nick Saban, he loves experience and stability. And that is two things that Jalen Hurts provides for that football team. So I believe Jalen Hurts will take the first snap. Now, I won't say he will be the starter for the year, but the first snap against Louisville this Saturday in Orlando at Camping Life Stadium will be Jalen Hurts, from all reports of what I'm hearing. Both quarterbacks will play, but Jalen Hurts will get the first snap.
All right. So now I know you had to be excited about this news, and don't make sure you know that we on radio. But when you heard Blake Barnett will be the starting quarterback for South Florida this year, what was your reaction?
Charlie Strong don't want his job. like I understand you need a spark, but that ain't it, brother. Like, he really, and he had a good year last year. He in trouble if he started that boy.
He went from Quentin Flowers to Blake Barnett.
Two totally different aspects at quarterback. So now he's going to have to change his entire offense to fit the pocket passer, Blake Barnett, who can't pocket pass.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's neither here nor there.
Exactly. Earlier in the program, we talked about this Jim Harbaugh thing and how he finally has a quarterback. Always had a defense. It's 1-5 against the big boys in this conference. 71% winning percentage, while Urban Meyer has a 91% winning percentage. Does he really, is this a do or die season for him, in your opinion, now that he has a quarterback?
Y'all know how I feel about, I've made my thoughts known on how I feel about Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Shout out to the SRT citizen, Kurt Taylor. But I agree, this is a make or break season for Jim Harbaugh. And I don't care who he has at quarterback, I still don't think Michigan is going to be successful. It's just the conference at the top head of the conference, I don't believe he's able to beat the big boys in the conference. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State. I believe all three of those coaches are better coaches than Jim Harbaugh. You can go down the line. James Franklin, I believe, probably is the best coach in the Big Ten. And probably the most underrated coach in the country. So I really just don't see Michigan. I still see them coming fourth in the conference and maybe third. They're going to be third in their own division. So, no, I don't believe Michigan is going to give us what everybody's expecting, even though they do finally have a quarterback with the transfer from Ole Miss.
Wow, that's big.
But let me say this. Okay. Let me tell you the reason why I say that. Because he is not a pro-style quarterback. And Michigan runs a pro-style offense. Now, everybody's trying to say that, oh, Jim Harbaugh is going to incorporate the things that he did at San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick. But Colin Kaepernick is not the same type of quarterback as this kid. So I really don't believe – what's his name? Shea
Patterson.
Shea Patterson. They're two totally different quarterbacks. You can run a spread offense because Shea Patterson ran the spread offense at Ole Miss. You can still run a spread offense, but they're still not the same type of athlete. So it's going to be different. So I don't believe the principles that worked for him in San Francisco with Colin are necessarily going to work at Michigan with Shea Patterson. So I'm still down on Michigan until they show me that defense is still stout. They're going to be good on the defensive end. They're probably still going to be good in the special teams. But until they show me that quarterback is able to win a football game by himself, where he is the focal point and he wins the game, I still don't believe in Michigan.
Wow. Give me a team or a player to watch this year. Either one.
I'm going to – just one – y'all, Hancock there?
Yeah.
Han, don't get mad at me and don't talk about me, but I'm going to be a homer. Okay? I'm going with Raekwon Davis, the defensive lineman at Alabama. Okay. This kid is 6'7", over 300 pounds, and he is going to be a force to be reckoned with on that defensive line. We don't have the marquee names as we've had in the past across that defensive line over the last couple years, and you can go all the way back to earlier Nick Saban's, from the Terrence Cody's to the Jonathan Allen's to the A'shaun Robinson's. They're not that caliber household name yet, But if you watch out, Raekwon Davis, and if you don't remember, last year he was shot, literally, with a gun, shot a week before the season and played in the first game. Mm. Okay? So that just shows what type of a beast this kid is. He's, like I say, 6'7", over 300 pounds, so he's a mammoth of a man. Just be on the lookout for the kid, Raekwon Davis. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with across that Alabama front line this year.
All right, man. We appreciate it, man. We appreciate you calling in, and I hope Kurt don't get mad at me for the Michigan Harbaugh thing. But, you know, we keep it real on this show, and we really appreciate you keeping it real. Hancock, you got something to say? Look like you got something to say.
No, I was laughing at Marty Mutt, but yeah. D. Will, I ain't going to get on you about being a homer. You've been that way since I've known you.
You got that right.
Roll Tide. There it is. All right, D. Will, take it easy on the road, man, and we about to get into some of this round table, bro.
All right, man. Y'all be easy, man. I'll see y'all later.
All right. D. Will on the phone, man. These most phone calls we done had in a minute, right?
Yeah.
Everybody on the phone just chopping it up.
Yeah.
Ever since payphone. Recorded.
Boy, I tell you, some other news. Where's my other stuff?
Hey, can we talk about that hit, man? That KZ laid on.
Yeah, go ahead.
The NFL to me on this, what do you do? Where are you supposed to hit people? Because the guy, you see Mark, what's his name? Lee.
Marquise,
whatever his name. Coming across the middle, if you hit him where you think you have a target, the natural instinct of the receiver is to bow down, to drop his head. So what happens in that case is that the hitter comes up and makes helmet to helmet. And you can either get fined, you can be disqualified this year for those hits. So there's no place nowhere to hit a guy but low. So you're going to take out knees and end careers or hamper people. You know, luckily Marquise Lee just signed that contract. Now, I don't know if the contract went into effect during the first game. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know if it was just signed this year. But does it go into effect on kickoff?
First game, I think.
See? So what if the ink's not dry? What if he can't play again or be the type of receiver that he was or that you expected him to be? I just don't understand what they're going to – they got to do something different about this rule, because the other thing about it is it's inconsistent.
Very.
Because I see helmet-to-helmet on hits sometime in the pocket from a quarterback. Sometimes it's called, sometimes not. Some collisions that happen in the hole of helmet to helmet. Sometimes the flag goes up. I don't know. But I think, speaking of fruit cups, there are going to be a lot of fruit cups lost. There are going to be some jobs lost. Mm-hmm. Because if they continue to make these calls the way they're making them, it's going to be an issue all season.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of preseason and offseason, one of the things came out with Jerry Jones saying he – would like for two preseason to go away and add two games to the regular season.
Wow.
I mean, I'm like.
But he's saying like $1 billion revenue to the players. And, you know, I the thing about adding the two games, you know, the NFL faced this when they went from the 14-game schedule to a 16-game schedule. You know, there was some pushback on that back in the day, but they went to it. If the players can benefit from it and you can expand the rosters, because I think that's what is going to be needed. You can expand your practice squad and I think you'd be able to bring in players to help you get through the season, because those two extra games are going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you're basically wasting games, nobody goes to the preseason games. People have a chance to get injured. The one benefit of that is you have players that are fringe that get a chance to showcase their wares and they might make a squad. But if you expand the practice squad and you expand the rosters, those players will still make squads. Because all of them, they keep saying, well, it's a chance to showcase. But for every, what was my man that did the salsa? Victor Cruz.
Yeah.
There are nine others that did make it.
Right.
So, I mean, you want to say, yeah, well, that's a good chance for them. But everybody doesn't make it just because they're playing preseason. So if he's good enough, he's going to show, and you'll get a chance to get him on your practice squad. So I think that's a misnomer. If you can add more money and these players benefit from it, I'm okay with it, because I think the preseason, four games is too many.
Another story that came out is if anyone watched the Cowboys-Cardinals preseason game, they debuted something. We all know about this is the 20th anniversary, actually, of the yellow first down line that you see on 20 TV.
Years? 20 years.
Wow. So because something's been going on for 20 years, of course, it's time to change it. So what NBC had was, on third down, they debuted something called the Green Zone. In which they show the area of the field that the team has to go for first down on third down. So you see the field looking extra green. It just looked like the field may have been mismatched. They got some bad turf, or maybe it was like Oregon's turf. There's been a lot of mixed reviews about it. Honestly, I don't think it's necessary, because the yellow line is still there. So we can still see how far a team has to go for a first down.
Doing too much.
Was this a preseason thing or the entire season?
It's something that they're doing for the preseason, but you're probably going to see it during the season.
Wow.
Green zone, huh?
Doing too much.
I agree. That's crazy. What else you got, G?
Another story that came out is has to do with the Browns. Michael Kendricks, linebacker, has been charged with insider trading. It was something that happened 4 years ago, but in a letter that he tweeted out, he admitted to insider trading. So any day now, the government will be coming to get him. And he'll probably be doing some time.
Yeah, Martha Stewart went to jail.
Yeah.
So she went to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he'll probably do a year in jail, and his NFL career may be over. But think of it like, how do the teams look at insider trading? Like, it's not domestic violence, it's not drugs. So are they going to look at him the same way for insider trading? Wow. We'll see in 2 years, I think.
That's pretty bad. That is awful. Yeah, I read that too, Michael. And he just left. Oh, he with the Browns.
Yeah, he's with the Browns.
Yeah. Did anyone see LeBron's new show on HBO?
Watched it last night.
Thoughts?
Honestly, I've never really been the biggest LeBron James fan, but I'm getting and gaining more respect for him. I really think he's insightful, and he thinks about more than just himself. You know, whether you like how he's kind of passive aggressive on certain things and not whatever. But I think his heart's in the right place to see what he's done, bringing himself up from nothing and empowering the people in his immediate area. You know, making sure that his guys went to school and they got knowledge of it and understand that their brand is so big that it's in demand, but they can set the market. They can set the parameters. They're empowered. They empower themselves.
Right.
And just to see that, I think that will show other people that you can make and be what you want. You know, you can do these things. You can own stuff. I think so much of the black community is a consumer-based. We're just consumers. All we do is buy.
Oh, yeah.
We don't own anything.
You're right.
And to see someone in that position, you know, not only empower himself, but empower the people around him and show them that you can be the boss, I think is a big thing. So I'm more and more impressed with him more off the floor than I am even with him on the floor. Right. And he's the best player in the NBA.
And I think he's winning the off the court legendary status. While you probably would never get six rings, but the effect and the changing of not just within the game, but with even outside of the game and in the community. That's where he's going to win and gain and garner a lot of his notoriety and legendary status.
Yep.
For that matter. So, shout out to LeBron James and the crew doing their thing. So, got to check it out. I just saw bits and pieces and things of that nature. So we'll see what's going on. But I saw also Kobe working on some stuff in studio on Twitter. So we'll see what's, I guess that's the media production is.
It's the thing.
It's the thing now.
Yeah. Academy Award winning Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, exactly.
Understand that you have more value than what they really want to let on to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. They want to keep you in a box, and these guys are breaking that mold.
Yeah. I guess G saying, well, I guess he's moving. That's why he's keep improving this Facebook Live.
That Facebook Live banging.
Oh, he's banging.
I'm trying to tell you. We're going to get you an award, G. Trust me. With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into this round table discussion.
The round table discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
The round table discussion sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball. If you need improvement on your basketball game, please contact Bo Bell. Go to CoachBoBellBasketball.com. For more information, where he believes that feet work is key. All right, fellas, college football. I asked D. Will. We talked about it earlier, and I didn't know he was gonna go off on Harbaugh like that. I mean, I thought he was go.
Thought he liked him, huh?
Well, I mean, I knew he never liked him, especially when he went did a sleepover over a recruit house. Yeah, he just wasn't feeling that. But anyway. What are you looking forward to in college football this season? I go first, just to break. And actually, speaking of Harbaugh, I'm looking for to see the Big Ten play in this pressure situation.
You must have been looking at my notes.
I mean, great mind thinks alike.
There you go.
I'm looking forward to see how the big, with all this hype on the Big Ten this year. You got Trace McSorley, I think could be a sleeper in the Heisman. You got Wisconsin, probably their best team ever. Michigan finally gets a quarterback, Shea Patterson. Michigan State returns 14-15 starters. Ohio State says that they have so much depth that it's unreal. And they saying that it's just so rich in football in the Big Ten this year, when we can only say, well, maybe Alabama could just be the only, maybe Georgia, the only top tier teams in the SEC. This is what they say, and this is the narrative they're going to try to spin. But I'm looking forward to seeing how the Big Ten responds to this pressure. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Now, we may have some of the same ideas.
Well, I was more on that next one. When
all right, but go.
To watch.
All right, but go ahead. What you looking
what
forward
I'm looking
to?
Forward to, though, is, and D. Will probably will return the favor on this, saying that I'm a homer, but – to see what Willie Taggart can do at Florida State. You know, coming in after the guy that replaced the legend in Bobby Bowden, I think there is a little less pressure. I was one that sat here and said I didn't think an African-American coach would be the next head coach at Florida State. It really hadn't been talked about that much, but that to me is still a major accomplishment for him to go there and play in the reading up on him, seeing that, you know, even though he didn't have the chance to go and play there or whatever, or even be part of that family, he always was a Florida State fan. So seeing him take this program and bring back some of the players like Deion and bringing back all the other stars in the Florida State line, kind of akin to what Miami used to do back in the day, which kept that bloodline flowing. before the NCAA went in there and kind of took the legs out from under that program. But I want to see if they're going to be able to get it back. He's even brought back Bobby Bowden in certain situations just to get that link back to a time when that was a dominant program. So I want to see how they're going to be able to you know, maybe get a big foothold back in the ACC like they used to run the conference and see if they can become a national player like they used to be. I mean, Jimbo had it going for a minute, won a national championship, but still that sustainability, that dominance that they had was never really felt like back in the day. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at Florida State this year.
All right, Smooth.
I would love to see what happens with the Clemson quarterback battle. Clemson is picked by probably just about every expert to be in the Final Four, the college football playoff. Kelly Bryant has been named the starter as of now, I think as of 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Trevor Lawrence is right behind. They say that he's on his heels. This is a 6'5 quarterback who's been called a generational talent. And I think if you're Clemson, quarterback play sort of hindered, you know, their ability to win the championship. And you saw it. Kelly Bryant, he has his limitations as a quarterback, similar to, you know, Jalen Hurts at Alabama or any other quarterback you could think of. Deshaun Watson, we saw what happened when he was there. When he was there, how high-powered Clemson's offense was, and you know what he did by ultimately winning the national championship. If Trevor Lawrence can come in, you know, if he does eventually take over Kelly Bryant's spot, Clemson could potentially become what they were with Deshaun Watson. Now, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence is Deshaun Watson, but if you read the tea leaves, if you read, you know, listen to the sources, everything that I've heard and been told, Trevor Lawrence is that guy, and he could be the missing piece. He could deliver them another national championship. So I'm interested to see what happens with that.
I almost sound like a repeat of what happened with Alabama.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, what you got?
I wanted to see if this year would be the year that, I know it's his first year back, but can Dan Mullen be under the radar at Florida as their coach? Because I feel like the other schools in Florida have like passed Florida as far as where the state of their program, you know, it's usually it was Florida and Florida State and then everyone else.
Right.
But Central Florida just had an undefeated season. South Florida I feel like they started their program 5 minutes ago, but they're having some success. Lane Kiffin keeps Florida Atlantic on the radar just by trolling everyone else. And then Miami is coming back to where they're a top 10 team this year with Mark Richt. So I'm interested to see what Dan Mullen will do coming back to Florida. Does he have his quarterback? How's his system in place? Because this is, since Urban Meyer left, they haven't been the same kind of program. And they've had a couple of coaches and it hasn't really worked out. So with Dan Mullen bringing back someone who was the offensive coordinator in the Tebow era, can he bring them back? Is it going to happen year one? Are we going to see any kind of progress? Because Florida is the best state for football right now, based on how, you know, all those schools, how strong those programs are. That's the best place to go to play football, I feel like, is in Florida. And aside, I mean, Alabama is just, okay, you got two schools. In Texas, you got like three, maybe. But with Florida, with all those programs, could be successful at any time. Florida is kind of like, you know, they're trailing everyone else right now. But will you see any progress this year?
Now, with that being said, to your point, they even hanging the national championship banner up at UCF.
Yeah.
So
they're about worth the wood.
Like, UCF is definitely feeling themselves this year.
We might as well hang out, man. I mean,
UCF is feeling themselves this year. Mackenzie Milton is going to get all of the Heisman hype that he can stand.
Yeah.
And plus, he's from Hawaii, so they're going to use the Mariota angle. As far as like how he was marketed for the Heisman, they're going to do that for Mackenzie Milton. So we're going to hear a lot about Central Florida.
Yeah. Right. I think Florida, Mullen, speaking on him, he's following two legendary coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Spurrier and Urban. That's big.
Yeah.
So to try to get that program back to a level of success, you know, to get up with those guys, he got to win big. I mean, think about the way Spurrier had that thing going with his offense and the way they were rolling in. Urban had, what, two national championships?
He won two.
So, hey, there's some lofty expectations at Florida.
Yeah,
with those
I agree.
Two coaches.
Yeah.
But following
McElwain.
McElwain and Muschamp.
Yeah, and Ron Zook.
And Ron Zook. He's got to do better than those guys. And he's been there before. He's familiar with the program.
Yeah. I feel you. But you got fans are called fanatics for a reason. Because, I mean, when we look even at the home institution here is Georgia. Georgia acts like, and I know I'm going to get some hate, but they seem to think that they've been a national program forever. They have, they are the Herschel Walker University.
Yeah.
The 1980s was, I mean, he made Georgia put them on the map. Herschel did.
Right.
For 3 years. And then if you look after that, man, as far as a national footprint and being a player that everybody looks at and say, that's, you know, on the level of the USC's, the Alabama's, and things of that nature, they're not really there.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of great players.
A lot.
Yeah. But, it just hasn't happened. And yeah.
I was hell in junior high.
with Florida also is that people are probably looking at what Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State, who is historically not even registered.
Right.
Yeah.
Until the last few years, you know, it's, with having Dak Prescott and Nick Fitzgerald, maybe he could transfer that success back to Florida. That's why I'm wondering what the expectation is. Is it? I feel like it's lower because no one's talking about Florida as far as
It's low.
Yeah,
it's very low.
It's low expectations for the guy who was there during the Tebow era coming back,
right?
And no one's really talking about it.
I agree. It is very, very low. Matter of fact, to that Mississippi State, thing, I think it's a football. Well, it's in the SEC, but I think Will Clark may be the most notable Mississippi State alumni, and he played baseball. Mm. Him and Rafael Palmeiro went there. Well, we won't talk about him. He lied in court.
Steroid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lied in court. So, all right. So, the player or team that you're going to tell everybody to watch or that you're watching. If it's a breakout year, whatever, don't matter. But the player or team, one of the two, don't matter. And I'll go ahead and start with Chico McClatcher, wide receiver, Washington Huskies. Last year, he was doomed by injury. 2 years ago as a sophomore, 31 catches, 574 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was third receiver behind John Ross, Dante Pettis. Now he is the lone guy now. Bringing back Jake Browning, and he's already familiar with Chico, and you got Gaskins as the running back. Look for Washington to put up some points, but make sure you keep an eye on Chico McClatcher. I'm telling you.
Auburn watching him. Auburn will be watching him Saturday.
Exactly. So that's the player, to me, that you need to pay attention to. Yeah. And I'm not bumping for Washington, but they might be a team to just peripheral vision. They might be the team because as I kept researching and reading about this offensive thing they got going on, it's starting to be interesting. And they got an offensive coordinator that coached, well, Chris Peterson coached Bruce Hatman at Boise State. He was with the Falcons. Now he's the offensive coordinator at Washington.
Yeah.
So look for them to put the ball in the air and look for Chico to catch.
Right. We'll see come Saturday,
Chico,
because this is what I always say about that. I look at Washington, and it's not to knock anything. Like, I understand. Playing out there, playing touch and flag football that they play out there in the West Coast, that's all fine and whatever. When they get to have to play with, you know, real football, which they're going to have to play Saturday, we'll see. And I've just never been sold on them because I don't think they're tough. I just do not think they're a big physical football team. And we'll see. Because they're going to try to spread Auburn out or whatever, and we'll see what happens. But I know the guy you're talking about. I remember before he got hurt.
Right.
He was a big-time prospect.
Yeah, big-time prospect.
We'll see what happens with him. And they do have the opening to try to get him on the field with the graduation they had.
Exactly.
The two big-time players. So, yeah, that's a good look.
Okay. Who you got?
Mine was neither player nor team. It was more SEC versus Big Ten because I think those are the two top conferences in college football. And like you said, you know, the Big Ten is getting a lot of hype. And when I go down the list, I just can't understand how is it because Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State, and Penn State. But when you get past those guys.
And Wisconsin,
I take that back. So those are good football teams. But what happens the rest of the conference is what?
Illinois, Purdue.
Come on.
Rutgers.
Come on.
Iowa Maryland. State.
Iowa. Our state's in
the... Yeah, I'm sorry, Iowa.
Maryland.
So, what I'm saying is I...
Northwestern.
All these... And I've heard Northwestern Indiana. Might even be a play in Indiana.
Indiana, yeah.
I mean, these... I just can't get excited about the conference. Maybe it's my Southern bias when I look at this thing, but I think it's more of a national... We are tired of the SEC... So we're going to make the Big Ten seem like the big bad conference. And I want to see it because I still contend that the teams they're talking about, if they come and they play on a neutral field against these wild-eyed Southern boys, I think it's a different story. I really do. I do think they got some good football teams at the top, but I think the SEC is the same way. And I think if you balance it out and you look, you don't want to go play these guys down there. And I just think it's a different football down here.
So basically what you're saying is maybe you got some good tier teams at the top, but you got the worst of the worst at the bottom.
Yeah. So, man, have you seen those games on Saturday at 12 o'clock, 11:30 that start when they got Beth, whatever her name, calling them or whatever her name is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are some horrible games, man.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, those are horrible. You got 15 people in the stands. So, I mean, that's why these teams, they go in there, Ohio State, before they wake up, you know, they'll look up and say, oh, man, we down 20 points. You know, and then they say, did everybody get out the breakfast? Y'all get here, let's play. Then they'll wake up, middle of the second quarter, and they'll put up 40 straight points.
Yeah, then it'll be 62 to 21. Yeah, well, and you're like, man, I was sweating over them fruit cups.
You know, just watch the games, man. It's not the same. It's just not the same. The pageantry, the excitement, the electricity of Southern football is just different from what they have up there in the Big Ten. I mean, you have your, like, Ohio State, Michigan. Those are big games. Don't get me wrong. But you can come down here in the SEC and play. Tennessee is supposed to be middle of the pack. Tennessee Vandy is going to be a packed, wild game.
Yeah.
Ole Miss. You know, even talk about going down to Starksville. Go down there and think you want to play. You know, you got them cowbells swinging down there. I promise you, it's just a different type of football. And it's just a different atmosphere. So I'm just not so.
Mm. All right, Smooth.
My team is actually West Virginia. There's been a lot of hype surrounding the team. And I think it's mainly because of their first-team All-American quarterback, Will Grier. David Seals, the receiver, I think he led the league, well, the country in touchdowns last year. He's back, and also Gary Jennings Jr. They're all expected to be a part of this high-scoring, really high-octane offense. They have a tough schedule, though. They play We talked about it earlier. They opened up with Tennessee and Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. North Carolina State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Texas, Oklahoma State, all on the road. Then you throw in November clashes with TCU and Oklahoma. So they're looking good. I mean, offensively, we expect them to be good. But if you look at the schedule, this could very well be a 500 team, 75-8-4. We can see. I'm sure they'll make a bowl game. But I guess the Big 12, we still give them some respect, but not the same respect that we give the SEC. Well, the upper tier, the elite teams in the ACC and even the Big Ten, those elite teams. So the Big 12 is a conference we don't expect much. They're slightly a bit better than what you see in the Pac-12. A little bit better offense and just a tad bit of defense, really none at all.
None.
But I'm kind of interested to see what West Virginia does, and mainly because of that, the guy who will probably be a Heisman candidate, Will Grier.
Will Grier.
Yeah.
All right, G, what you got, bro?
I'm interested in seeing what USC is going to do, Southern California. They have JT Daniels, who through a side hustle, I've been able to see him play a little bit. He is the second true freshman to ever start the season opener at USC. He has all the tools. He can make all the throws. And this is USC quarterback, so by default, he's going to get a lot of attention. And I think USC, I picked them to win the Pac-12 because I have no reason to believe in Washington. They're ranked in the top five or six, depending on which poll you're looking at. But I find it hard to believe in them. I feel like they're going to slip up somewhere, at, you know, playing Washington State on the road at night, or playing Arizona State on the road at night or something like that. They're going to have one of those games where they slip up. But I'm interested to see USC if they can finally get that finally make that run towards a national championship. It feels like they've kind of been there. Maybe they're going to be there with Darnold. Maybe they're supposed to be there with, you know, go back to Mark Sanchez or whoever. But I feel like this is the year to where they actually can make that run because the conference is so wide open, more wide open than people think. And I think that it's with this quarterback. Yes, he is a true freshman, but they're starting him for a reason.
And I'm hearing they got a running back that you need to keep your eyes on too. I can't even remember his name, but I hear they got a nice, decent running back. What'd they keep running backs anyway?
Yeah. He was didn't this guy JT? Didn't he reclassify? He was supposed to still be in high school.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a senior in high school this year, but he reclassified so he can enroll. I think he enrolled at USC in the spring.
Right. And now he's starting at the majors, at the big time school. So we'll see. That's. I think he's the first true freshman, didn't they say, to start opening season for USC?
The second one after Matt Barkley.
Barkley starts the freshman. Okay.
Wow. Team or player that you think would disappoint?
You going first or you want me to?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Oklahoma Sooners. Great minds think alike. Well, I guess you could have went first because it's
same team.
Kyler Murray is a starting quarterback for Oklahoma. He's not Baker Mayfield. They return with Rodney Anderson, Marquise Brown, the receiver and the running back. But for a career, Kyler Murray has 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. and he's graduating
in a baseball contract.
So the thing hand is, if I'm a starting quarterback and I'm getting paid $4.7 million to play baseball, what incentives do I really have? I mean, let's be real. At Texas A&M, where he transferred from, his passing percentage was less than 60%. he's not a great thrower. He's just a runner. I'm predicting that Oklahoma Sooners will finish out of the top 10 this year, even though they probably got a cupcake schedule. But I think they still will finish out of the top 10. But guess who they played last game of the season?
Who was that?
At West Virginia. Might lose to Kansas.
Wow.
Sitting here looking at their schedule. They may lose to Iowa State. No, they may lose to TCU. Texas Tech, at Texas Tech. Yeah, they're not going to finish in the top 10. All right, Han.
Yeah, well, you took mine with Oklahoma, so I'm just going to say something else. You even took Kyler Murray because I don't think he'll be able to live up to what happened and what Baker did. So I think that's just going to be too much for him. I guess I can go back and we can talk a little bit about Shea Patterson because I don't know if he's going to live up to what they need for Michigan. I think there's going to be a big spotlight on it.
Especially wearing Charles Woodson number.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. But this question was about that I think would disappoint. But disappointment to me will be Oklahoma. I don't think they live up.
I take Kyler Murray as a disappointment. You take Oklahoma.
Okay, well, I'll take Oklahoma. Oklahoma already didn't play defense. We saw Georgia shred them.
Exactly.
So now if you can't put up the numbers that were put up for Baker and the defense is still hemorrhaging points, it's going to be a problem. So, yeah, I think Oklahoma takes a step back. Lincoln Riley kind of stepped into a good situation, had a quarterback that was veteran, had nice recruiting class around, but now he's the guy. I think this is his third year here now since Stoops left?
Second year.
So he still has some holdovers from Stoops, but, you know, he's had to get out here and get on the road and do some things himself. I know who I wanted to say. How about Texas? Texas is another team that I think is a team that has been disappointing that needs to come up. And I think Mark Herman is going to have a little more heat, especially since what came out on him this week. He was the wingman for Ohio State's coach
Smith
at the strip clubs and things of that nature. And I think Ohio State actually put that out on him. So Texas, I think, which has not lived up to the hype, I still don't think they're ready. I think the shine is coming off of Herman. And if he doesn't get it done, you were talking about Harbaugh. Believe me, Texas has a big target on him. Yes. The hot seat will be on him pretty soon.
Yeah, so. I agree. All right, Smooth.
This might shock some people, but I'm actually going with you guys might have to help me with his last name. Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, him. Well, we don't know what his position is now, backup or starter, quarterback for Alabama. We've yet to see this guy play a full season, and I expect
full game.
Right, a full game. I mean, there's a half of tape on him right now. So going into the season, no one knows what to expect. I understand he was there last year, and he's had at least 1 year in the scheme. So I'm not sure if he's going to be the key to Alabama season. If he's the guy who can actually. Mike keeps moving. If he's the guy who's going to unlock everything that Nick Saban wants to do, we'll see. But I just have a feeling that defenses will find a way to figure him out. I love that Jalen Hurts, he's been through the gauntlet a couple times already. So he knows what to expect. And with Tua, that experience just isn't there. And I get it. He performed well on the highest stage that there is. But the season-long game is a different beast. And I just don't see him rolling through the season the way he did the second half of the national championship.
and that was a desperate situation. Nobody game plan for him.
Right.
And anything. Me and Han talked about this.
The first touchdown was luck. He wasn't even throwing to Ridley.
It wasn't even Andrew Luck. It was pure luck.
Yeah, it was intercepted by Ridley.
Yeah.
And then the touchdown.
He said intercepted.
It was. I mean, if you look at the play, Ridley was out of the picture. He came across and made the play.
He said intercepted by Ridley.
And as far as the throw that won the game, heck of a throw. But it's against cover two, which was supposed to be the perfect defense for it.
Yep.
The safety just did not get over. He stayed on the hash too long.
Right.
And the pass was complete. So, you know, he made a heck of a throw. But like you said, people will be game planning for him. I think he's a heck of a talent, so we'll see. One thing about it is when you can turn around and hand the ball off 20 times, yep, it makes your passing game that much more effective. So we'll see.
All right, G, what you got?
All right, for me, I'm going to say it's going to be the Miami Hurricanes. Last year, they got away with forcing turnovers, which is not an ability in football. That's not an ability. That's being opportunistic. And when they lost to 2-12 Pitt, or whatever their record was at the time, how did Pitt win the game? Not turning the ball over. So their offense is still something to be desired. The guy that they had, who was their running back who got hurt, he went on to the NFL. So who knows what they're going to have offensively. Defensively, maybe they're going to bring out the turnover chain. They're going to bring it back, even though it's a fad and people may not care about it anymore. But I still don't think they're going to score enough to contend for a national championship. And I actually have them tied with LSU, even though they play each other in the first game, because I feel like LSU is going to beat them. And then LSU will delude themselves into giving Ed Orgeron an extension. Mm. But then that will be the peak of their season. It was beating Miami in the first game.
Wow.
And then Miami will lose like 3 or 4 games and they'll go to a bowl game. But I don't think they're going to contend for a national championship.
Honorable mention, man, Wisconsin, you got to watch. They got 10 returning starters on offense.
Yeah, and I don't think their schedule allows them to play that. I think they miss some of the big boys in the Big Ten again when you look at their schedule.
They play loaded.
They play Michigan, uh-huh, and they play Penn State.
Okay. But they miss Ohio State and
– Ohio State, no.
No, Michigan State.
Michigan State, no. Yeah, good, because they're in the opposite division.
Right. Where are they playing those two big games?
They're at Michigan and at Penn State.
Oh, so, okay, well, hey, if they can come out of those two games unscathed, then that's big, because those two places are going to be rocking.
No doubt about
it. Yeah, I think when the big house is full, they like the third or fourth biggest city in Michigan. Right. Something they said when that thing is full.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be – those are two big games that we'll see this season.
Wow, that's going to be big. Well, man, college football is here, man. And I just can't wait, because it's coming and it's on and popping. And I just can't wait. And UFC got a national championship banner. UCF. And Scott Frost is gone. And they lost, their quarterback just transferred from Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, he did. Martinez, I think his name or something, wasn't it?
No, I think it was the other guy. The other kid, yeah.
From UCF?
No, from Nebraska.
Yeah.
The quarterback.
Tommy Armstrong?
No, when he didn't win the job, he just transferred.
Yeah, they wouldn't win it anyway.
Yeah, they wouldn't win it anyway. All right, man, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break and we're going to close this thing out. You listen to Sports Roundtable with SRT Crew on the Real 1100 and SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
Tune in. your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy
from over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com
or your app store.
Sports Roundtable.
Oh, you know, UCF, that's cool. It's a nice little story, but it's being the tallest midget at the party. I mean, it really don't mean nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
SRT Fun Bag, go,
make
back,
up
go.
Your mind. No. Think, since you're thinking, now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
Oh, funny.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Radio Sports Roundtable back at you. Figure we'll throw a little fun bag at you before we get up out of here. It's getting close to that time. So basically, I think we saw this on social media this week, and I'm pretty sure we probably have a lot to say about it, but I figured we were going to run out of time, so we're going to kind of make it quick. The remake of Scarface with Denzel Washington. Yay or nay?
Nay.
Gee, I already know how you feel. I already saw you. But we gotta ask the tenants. The remake of Scarface with Denzel Washington. Is it a yay? Is it a nay? Hancock, your thoughts.
I love Denzel Washington. One of my favorite actors of all time. But oh hell no. Some things you don't touch, man. Why would you remake Scarface with... I can't see that one. I can't see that one. Nah.
Smooth.
If this is true up until this point, Denzel has made, I would say, pretty good decisions, career-wise. But I think this is a very bad decision. And that, I'm in the same boat with Hancock. But he's actually my favorite actor of all time. And I won't say his career suicide, because he's done too much. He's built, has a great cachet. A lot of equity built over the years, but this is just a bad idea. Don't do it. It's almost like Cassie, you know, trying to cover an Aretha Franklin song.
Exactly.
Like you just don't remake movies by great actors. Even though Denzel is a great actor in his own right. There's just some things you shouldn't touch. And this is one.
All right, G.
All right. this is an unpopular opinion. But a lot of people like, no, you know, leave Scarface alone. It's a classic. That movie is trash to me.
What?
Scarface is trash.
What?
It's a trash movie.
How you gonna say that, G?
It's trash. That movie is trash.
Gee, you just born too late. If you was born back when it was out.
Maybe. Yeah. But that movie, like, it's so over the top. Like, it could be considered a comedy, even though it's supposed to be like some action drama. There's some unintentionally funny moments in that movie we don't have time to go into right now.
I can hear a promo next week with Scarface.
But Denzel could not improve on that movie. Like even like, oh, we have Denzel, we have this, you know, great script and director. Nah, he couldn't help it. No. So we don't need it because it's bad, and
blasphemy,
he doesn't need to do that.
Gee, blasphemy.
All right, real quick before we get up out of here, a movie we should remake. I say do another Players Club.
Wow.
I just think The Wire need to be made to a movie.
Okay.
It's hard to say, and I don't know if I believe in remakes. Okay. I don't have one.
I think like one of Spike Lee's earlier movies could be remade, like Do the Right Thing or School Days. I think that would be a good thing to do in today's
time. Or you can sequel. I should add this sequel. I think they should make a Set It Off 2. And I think they should make another play.
It's a play.
Bring
them back. Reincarnate them.
All right, Facebook Live listening, y'all. Throw some moves out there, but we got to get out of here. Shout out to everybody who listened to the show. Shout out to all of my people, man. All of the tenants and everybody. Shout out to the crew, man. We really appreciate you doing it. Shout out to Tracy. My girl, birthday will be Saturday.
Shout out, Tracy. Happy birthday.
And the fantasy draft is Saturday, too. So, anyway. shout out to my main man, Rodney Young, man, who checked it in. Who want to come on in studio and talk a little Big Ten. He'll get ate up alive trying to talk that Big Ten. But anyway, that's all I got. All right, Han, what you got?
Hey, shout out to Vincent celebrating his 30th anniversary, I believe. Anyway, whatever it is, cuz, happy anniversary to you. It's a long road. Why don't keep and have many more, man. Happy anniversary to you. Oh, yeah, and follow your boy at paypal.me/sportssuperhero to get them picks. I'm going to leave y'all with one. Take FIU, baby, this week. Plus the points. That's my lock of the week.
Go ahead, then. Look at him. Man. Go ahead. All right, Smooth.
Shout out to the entire crew, including D-Wheel and Rain Man, who aren't here with us right now. The Tenants, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Everybody on Facebook. And shout out to Superhero, who I heard is considering taking RG3 with the first pick. In Saturday's SRT Fantasy Draft.
It was Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, Kaepernick. And I fully support both of those picks.
All right,
shout out to my mom and dad. Shout out to all the tenants. Everyone who joined us on Facebook Live. Tell your friends about us. And, yeah, that's about it.
You already know how we do it. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it because it's the best show going today. All right, Han, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms. R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show, tell a friend if you didn't.
Yeah, see, Dez Bryant, second pick.
And we out. Peace!